Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. But we've got some exciting stuff to share with you. I've been sitting here with Doc before the airing of this, before the recording of this program, discussing some deep things in Revelation chapter 14. I don't know if we'll get to some of them in today's program, but we're going to Revelation 14, which happens to be the 144,000 Jewish men with the everlasting gospel. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome, 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 Brother Goodwin here and Dr. Charles Hilton Biddle. I don't know which one this is, Doc, but we're up to chapter 14 of Revelation in our journeys through the Revelation. And man, oh man, I'll tell you, we have gotten emails, we've gotten people on YouTube commenting. Folks are eating this up, Doc.
Hope we can help folks.
We're just two old preachers sitting here telling folks what we've gleaned for
years. We started out
years
ago. I'd been saying for quite a while, we need to do something like this. And you agreed, okay, we'll do that. We thought maybe three sessions. I don't know here where we are, maybe 9 or 10.
I don't know where we're at, but we're actually considering.
We're having a good time anyway.
I think we're learning as we go as well. Things kind of pop out. We're considering putting these Revelation shows on a flash drive that you can plug into your computer, and we'll number them all. Number 1, 2, 3. There'll be probably 12 or 15 of them.
Yeah, probably
half hour shows that you can watch at your leisure, and just we'll put the theme under each one. This one's Revelation 4. This one's Revelation 6. So we're thinking of doing that. We'll keep you advised. We'll let you know on that, but. This is important stuff. The book of Revelation is getting ready to unfold.
It's getting ready to roll out.
In fact, the truth is we are in the book of Revelation right now.
That's right. We're in chapter 3.
We're in chapter 3, the church of the Laodiceans. That's where we are. And the next page is, behold, a door was opened in heaven.
Amen.
And he's caught up.
I'm glad we know we're in the age of the Laodicean. But I'm also glad I don't have to be a Laodicean.
That's right. I believe in being a Philadelphia Christian.
There you go.
In a Laodicean age.
That's it.
And, of course, though we strive to be, the world, we have gone so far, I'm not sure any of us would compare to the original apostles in Jesus' day. Yeah. As far as, you know, where we're at and our separation and all that.
I agree.
But you sure do. The more separated and to the right you get, the more you look different from the world. And the more you stick out.
The more we look like a square peg in a round hole.
And hatred. You get hated.
Oh, the hatred. Not just hatred from the world, but hatred from Christianity, supposedly.
Now, in today's program, if it goes as we planned, we're going to spend very little time in 14. We're going to go to chapter 15. But so let's get this on the. Well, let me read a little paragraph here in my Revelation study guide. the theme of this parenthetical chapter is the work of the 144,000 Jews with the everlasting gospel. It is obvious. It is a parenthetical because it follows no timeline. And it does hit some things that happen at the end of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Talks about the fall of Babylon, mystery Babylon, and all that. But it also covers the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation. You see that from verse 13 to verse 20. We see in verse 3 that the 144,000 were redeemed from the earth. And when we read chapter 7, we find out who they are, the 144,000, and that they're virgins, and that they're going to be assembled in Jerusalem, and they're going to get saved. And I believe if you look at Revelation 11:13, you'll find a reference to the salvation of these men. And it's after the fifth trumpet in chapter 9, and you get to Revelation 11:13, which is also partially a parenthetical chapter. It says that when the two witnesses ascend back to heaven, that the 144,000 give glory to the God of heaven. I believe that's their salvation. And so The 144,000 are Jews. They are, yes. I believe, there's an important verse here in Revelation 14. It says in verse 4 that they are the first fruits unto God.
Yes.
Now remember, this farming is a very important thing to understand when you read your Bible.
Well, chapter 14 is the fourth interlude or parallel.
Okay.
Parentheses. So we're looking at information that, even though we're reading it in what we call the middle time of the tribulation, it's giving us stuff, information that fits with like chapter 7 and information that's going to fit with chapter 17 and 18. Because it's information. If you put all of them together, you could get the picture of everything that's happening besides the narrative. And so we're at that fourth parallel. So that's why you're reading something here that fits with chapter 7.
Now, there, the resurrection is spoken of in this chapter, and it's very important. And I spent some time in the study guide discussing the two resurrections. And Jesus said, blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection.
Amen.
You don't want to be part of the second resurrection because that's the great white throne.
Yeah.
Now, remember now, the resurrection is about the body, not the spirit and the soul. If a person dies today as a Christian, as a believer, he goes to heaven, but his body does not go to heaven. Your body goes to the ground.
No. People ask all the time, are we going to have a body? Well, I assume that we have some kind of a form.
Yeah.
But it is obvious that after the rapture, we are going to have a body that is recognizable as to who we are.
Remember now, Moses and Elijah. Now, this gets a little...
They know who Moses and Elijah is.
This gets a little deep. Of course, they've never seen Moses and Elijah.
No.
But this gets a little deep and a little... Boy, you could really think on this a while.
We'll get to a little of this.
They have a body there, but they don't have the raptured body
We'll
yet.
Get to a little of this when we get over to chapter 21.
Yeah. Okay.
So we got a ways to go before we get there.
So we'll leave that right there. Moses and Elijah have a body, but it's not their—it's not their glorified body yet. They're in a body, and I'm not sure we can even understand all that.
I don't find anything in the Bible that would give us no way. If anybody says this is dogmatically what it says, Markham is a heretic because it doesn't make it that clear.
Yeah. But it is Moses and Elijah. They're in some sort of a body, and they're recognized.
Absolutely.
Even though there's no pictures of them, but yet everyone there knew that's Moses and Elijah. I think it was revealed to them, to their spirit. And so I explain in the chapter, I explain the resurrection of the saved is in three phases. And that's the first fruits. Again, farming. These are farming terms. The first fruits, Christ is the... And I didn't make this up. God's the one that...
No.
The Lord's the one that gave us this.
He put the picture all together when he put the feast season together.
Yeah. The first fruits, Christ is the first fruits.
That's why they call it First Fruit Sunday.
Yeah.
Resurrection
Sunday. 1 Corinthians 15. He's the first fruits. He's the first to rise from the grave bodily.
Yes.
And then the main harvest is the rapture. Revelation 4. That's the main harvest. But that's not the end. There's what I call the gleanings, or not what I call, but what farmers would call. Now, we don't do this anymore. In our day, we take a big John Deere tractor, we wipe off the whole field.
It's different, but
in Bible days, and you see this in the book of Ruth and other places, you were commanded to leave the corners of your field. You didn't harvest
and
that.
And not glean them.
And the widows and the poor were welcome
and
to come.
And strangers.
Yeah, and they could come and they could get food.
God had a welfare system, but it required work.
And it was a good system. Boaz was not required to go pick all that and deliver it to their doorstep, put it in the freezer, shuck the corn. No, they had the labor.
Yep.
And work's good for man.
But you back up just a minute. We talked about, we said we'd wait a later talk about the bodies. But it's amazing. Jesus, as the first fruits in his glorified body, is referred to later as the man.
Yeah.
And so he's going to have that body that's going to have the same scars and the same prints and the same girdle around him in heaven.
Yeah.
So that tells us a little bit about, I think,
what we'll
have.
I think we're going to keep our identity. I think we're going to be recognized.
He said you'll be known as you are known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, at the church I was at this past Sunday, you happened to mention that story about the side. Jesus, in his resurrected body, at the upper room A week later, Thomas is there.
He said, here, Thomas.
And he said, thrust in thine hand into my side. Now, it doesn't say that he did it. I was looking at it.
I don't think. Would you have?
It really hit me. Because the next thing it says, Thomas said, my Lord and my God.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't need to touch you. No. I know you're him.
No.
But think about that. He invited him to stick his hand inside of his side.
Yeah.
That gives you goosebumps.
But that's why when you see his description in the book of Revelation, his paps, his midsection, is robed or clothed with a golden girdle. Because behind that golden girdle is a riven side. Yeah. So every time we see Jesus, it's going to remind us we're here because of his redemption.
The scars in his hands will always be there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's why he's called the man Christ Jesus.
So when we talk about the resurrection, we're talking about the body, the flesh. Mm-hmm. The body's going to be resurrected.
Yeah.
When you die as a believer, you go to heaven. Mm-hmm. There's no soul sleep, none of that nonsense. You're to be absent from the body.
Right.
Notice the term, absent from the body. When you die, you're now absent from the body.
But
the body goes to the ground.
That's because we're dealing with our soul and our spirit.
Yeah,
not the blood, not the flesh and blood.
Man is a threefold being, just like Christ is, just like God is, the Trinity, spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
And when I die, my spirit and soul will go to be with the Lord.
That's right.
Now, if my spirit's not quickened, then my soul doesn't go to be with the Lord.
It goes to hell.
Yeah. So
where all lost people go.
We got to be quick. We got to be made alive, born
that's
again.
It.
Yeah.
Man.
First fruits, main harvest, and then the gleanings. And the gleanings, I believe, you'll find in Matthew 24. That's very misunderstood.
Yeah.
But anyway, of course,
sometimes people try to get Matthew 24 for our rapture. And no.
In my new book, The Prophecy Puzzle, I make a point of that if you don't realize who's being spoken about in Matthew 24, if you don't rightly divide there and you put the church there, you're going to have a mid-trib or a post-trib
rapture. That's why we talk about, and you've got it in the book somewhere, but we talk about the importance of following rules of interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I have my book called The Seven Laws of Bible Study. In fact, one of the newest books I've written. And that's it, comparing scripture with scripture.
Yes.
Who's speaking, who's being spoken to.
What's being said.
Yeah.
And is it a promise for me or just for him or her?
So I've got some personal application here, but I think we ought to just scoot on over to chapter 15.
Well, we need to take a little bit of time here in chapter number 14. My page turned on me.
Oh, you got a couple things you were going to read.
Yeah, we need to understand, in this chapter, he's setting the stage of what's getting ready to fall out in the last set of judgments, in the vile judgments. And so there's some summary. She's got a chart she can put up there about what's getting ready to fall out in chapters 15 and 16. But this is setting the stage, particularly about these angels and what they're going to get ready to do. And so it's setting the stage, chapter 14 and 15. 15 is not an interlude, but it's kind of attached to what we just saw. And we didn't talk about it, but I believe it is, midst of the heaven, the angel with the gospel. We talked about that earlier.
An angel in the midst of heaven with the everlasting gospel.
Yeah. Verse number 6, and said, in the midst of heaven, this angel, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth. But notice that this angel is in the midst of heaven, comma. What's he doing in heaven? He has the everlasting gospel to preach to all that dwell on the earth. That doesn't mean he's the one that's preaching it. He has it. And as you already pointed out, 144,000 is not, because this event in this chapter covers the middle of the tribulation and brings you to the end of the tribulation. And so this angel, one of the four angels, he has it. It looks like, as you pointed out in our conversation, that's part of that, maybe the sealing of the 144,000 who's going to be scattered, because all the Jews are going to be scattered.
Yep.
And because you get to the end of this chapter, you find the Jews are being driven, those that still survive are being driven into a place of refuge.
Yep. And they're going to preach everywhere they go.
And the ones that have been sealed, I believe, are going to go all over the world preaching. What we would call what we call today the gospel, we realize that the word gospel is what God has said on any given subject.
It's the word
reality.
Of God. That's what it is. Yeah.
And so here's a picture of an angel that has the responsibility of taking that everlasting gospel, what God has said about it. And in your case, maybe it's the word of God, or maybe it's the word of God concerning salvation, the word of God of getting the world ready for the millennial reign. But it's God said on it. And I think he's given that responsibility to those that he has sealed.
Yep, the 144,000.
And they're going to scatter all over the earth. They're going to be protected.
Many people teach, most people teach, that an angel is going to come and preach that. Yeah. And I do
That's not
believe
what
that.
It says. He's in heaven. He's not preaching. He's in heaven. But he has that responsibility of giving that.
Yeah. And I believe some proof that it's not, that he doesn't actually preach to the people, is Acts chapter 10.
Acts
Cornelius.
Chapter 10.
He's a man who's not saved. He's a good man. He wants to know God. And an angel comes to him. That angel does not lead him to Jesus.
Nope.
That angel leads him to Peter.
Yes.
Go find Peter. He'll tell you what to do. And, of course, the whole story there is interesting.
And partly is because he's a Gentile and God has given Peter the keys of heaven and earth concerning this responsibility. And so he's bringing him to Peter for that. But you're right.
And angels are not redeemed.
They're not redeemed. And only a redeemed person can share how I got redeemed, and this is how you can be redeemed.
Yeah.
But this chapter, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, the blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, and henceforth the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their work do follow them. Here again, this is not just talking, the works do follow them. This is really an application of everybody.
Yeah.
Your works do follow you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things in chapter 14 that will tie what you find in chapter 7 and also will bring you and tie you into chapter 17 and 18, because they are all a parenthesis of information outside of the narrative of the tribulation days.
Yeah, you see the end time here in verse 15, 16.
Yes.
You know, putting this thrust in thy sickle and reap the harvest of the earth. I mean, that's the end time. That's Armageddon, probably.
That's what I said. It's getting ready for those vile judgments that we looked at a moment ago to get ready to be poured out.
Verse 17, another angel come out of the temple which is in heaven.
Yes.
We know that Moses built the tabernacle like the one that he saw. Yeah. So
he built a tabernacle after the one we're going to see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And, we could, you know, there's just so much here.
What I wanted people to see is that there's information here that goes all the way back to basically the first of the tribulation, and also information about what's getting ready to happen as it closes out.
Yeah. So let's go to chapter 15 in the 8 or 9 minutes we got left here. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. There's seven again. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. These are going to be the vials of the wrath of God.
Put that picture back up.
All right. She'll get that picture of the seven vials up there for you.
Yeah.
For in them is filled up the wrath of God. You think the trumpets were bad. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's God's wrath being poured out.
I mean, wait a minute. It's back in the first seal judgment, as we've already pointed out. It's like God said, okay, man, you want to be God? You think you got it? You're a politician. You know the answer. They don't even know the question. But anyway, and things are bad. Then the devil gets to do what he wants to, unrestricted. Wow.
Yeah.
Now God says, get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Hold my mule.
Because here's what he's doing. He's getting ready to finish out Daniel's 70th week and at the same time prepare the world for the millennial reign that's getting ready to come.
So in my study guide, chapter 15, here's my theme that I give. The seven last plagues revealed. Now, they're not unleashed in chapter 15.
No, they're just...
They're revealed. Here they are. Here's what they are. Then you turn the page to chapter 16, which we'll get to
and
next
week. And
one
right after the other.
Then, you know, it happens. So 14, 15, 16 really are kind of intertwined here. And so there's a lot of lessons here, but chapter 14 reveals what's coming, and it's bad.
Yep.
And I believe you point out that not only is it judgment, but it's going to prepare the earth for the kingdom age. Maybe we'll get to that later.
The children of Israel that have just now started running into for protection, people need to understand that only 1/6 of all the Jews that started the tribulation in chapter 6 will still be alive at this time.
Yeah. Now, we don't know the exact timing of this, but this is definitely near the end of the tribulation.
Oh, I'm confident it's in the last months because they're so severe that, as God says, if he didn't shorten the days, no life could sustain it.
Yeah. So what is the chart still there, or do you need the chart?
No, not next.
Okay.
So we'll get to those in 16.
And we'll get those next week. But I have a few lessons in this chapter, but let's see here. Let me read a little bit of this in the paragraph. Chapter 13 is inserted to explain Satan's trinity. We did that last week. Chapter 14 is inserted to explain what the 144,000 will be doing after they become believers, right at the middle. We talked about that. The angel's going to get to them the everlasting gospel.
Yep.
By the way, gospel, it means word of God, but let's just be clear here. The way to heaven's everlasting.
Yes.
It's the same from Adam.
You wrote a book on redemption throughout the ages. Yes.
Salvation of Adam is no different than the salvation I got or the salvation of the 144,000.
It's all by grace based on innocent blood shed for the guilty sin.
I think some preachers are guilty of claiming that these sealed 144,000 didn't do anything to get sealed. God just did. That's not true.
No.
They're sealed the same way I'm sealed. Yeah. They believed. They believed something.
Yeah. And it's obvious that they had a major conversion.
Revelation 11:13, and the remnant gave glory. They just saw the two guys get up.
It's almost a parallel to Peter, when thou art converted, wow, all of a sudden, wow, I understand what I'm to do.
So Revelation 14 is inserted to explain what the 144,000 are going to do after they get sealed, saved. Seal just means you're kept forever. Yep. You're saved. There's nothing different about them getting saved. See, some people think they were born that way and they're sealed by God.
Well, because they see the fact that these are men and they're virgins, they've kept themselves pure, so they think there's something to do with all of that.
And that could, again, I don't know for sure, but
think that has anything to do with their salvation.
Yeah. And it could be, like we always point out in Revelation 1, signified by symbols and signs.
Yes.
Could that be some symbolism there with them being virgins? I don't know. Then you get to chapter 15, which we are now, and we go back to where we left off in Revelation 11:15 with the salvation of 144,000 and the seven vial judgments.
Yeah.
Chapter 15 is actually an introduction to chapter 16 because chapter 16 is so awful, it needs an introduction here.
You get the stage in chapter 15 that there's an angel that's responsible for each one of these that's going to be, when he's given the signal, this is what he's going to do.
Okay. Chapter 15 is interesting. It's actually the shortest chapter in Revelation. I don't know if you knew that. It's the shortest chapter in the book of Revelation.
It is, isn't it? I hadn't paid any attention.
There's only 8 verses in there. So,
So
if you want to memorize one chapter of Revelation, there you go, 8 verses. And not the most exciting.
No.
But let's see. Once we get through the seven vials, chapter 17 and 18 shows the fall of religious and political Babylon, which is also part of what we read in chapter 14.
Yeah.
Which takes place near the end. Then chapter 19 shows the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ, which ends the tribulation and ushers in the kingdom age. And I say here, are you still with me in my study guide? And then I give the whole timeline here without the parenthetical chapters. It's on page 61 of the study guide. If you have the study guide, it's underlined there. Very important. And I got a couple things, but there's 2 minutes left, Doug, if you want to.
Number one. I hope they're beginning to realize how important it is to understand where these parallels are and their purpose. Because this is where a lot of people, not understanding that, they end up being a mid-tribulation rapture guy or gal because they don't understand they're in a parenthesis that's talking about something's already happened.
Yeah.
And so chapter 15, I can see, man, it's getting you ready because chapter 16 is going to be, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not as vivid as chapter 9, but it's worse.
It's much worse.
Yeah. It just
and there's a lot of similarities, and a lot of people, this is where a lot of people think that these things all are on top of each other rather than out of each other. But I'm telling you, we'll be looking closely at these
In the last minute here, let me just give a couple of these lessons. Yes. The seven last plagues are the wrath of God. Glass mingled with fire symbolizes judgment.
Mm-hmm.
We can have victory through Christ no matter how bad things get. See how Revelation 11, 19 flows right into Revelation 15, 5. And you'd have to go look that for yourself. But Revelation 11, 19 flows right into this here.
Yes.
We can have victory through Christ. I said that one already. Many believe Revelation 15:8 means nobody else gets saved after this point. That's that last verse of the chapter.
Yeah.
Let's look at that. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power.
Oh.
And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels
are fulfilled.
That
takes you back to Isaiah chapter 6.
That's a deep one there. Maybe we can talk about that in one of our updates.
Yeah.
And, hey, if I'm not saved, I, too, am under the condemnation of
God. That's right.
Folks, that's you. If you're not saved, you're under the condemnation of God right now.
Mm.
You better do something about it. You better get born again. You better meet Jesus. And, well, that concludes our study for today. Doc, next week or whenever we come back, we'll do chapter 16.
Boy, that's going to be.
And maybe we can do further than 16. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I hope these have been a help to you, and I hope you are learning something. And I hope it's getting in your heart, not just in your head. All right, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.